You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
This is going to be the last in our series, Possessing the Promise, and I really feel that God just really wants to cap this off and give us a word that's very special today. Just say it one more time, possessing the promise. Because we're living in a season of walking into our promises. Anybody want to receive that over your life? That this is not just any other season, not just any season where we talk about what God has promised us, or we pray about what God has promised us, or we dream about what God has promised us, but we actually begin to possess what God has promised us. And so that's what we've kind of been talking about for the last couple weeks. And we left off last week with Joshua. He just crossed the Jordan River with the children of Israel, and then they camped at Gilgal. They had brought with them 12 stones and to make a memorial. And we talked about that last week. And so I want to start right there in Joshua chapter 5. So if you got your Bible with you today, go with me to Joshua chapter 5. And I really think this is so powerful. Because it begins to talk about, and one of the chapter headings is reestablishing covenant. Reestablishing covenant. And if I can tell you something today, before you proceed into possessing your promise, before you proceed, check your covenant. Make sure you know what you've been promised before you start marching out into your destiny, marching out into the unknown. Make sure you know what God has promised you. So right there at Gilgal, they reestablished covenant. So whether you're reestablishing covenant today or you're establishing covenant today, make sure that you know what your covenant is. Check your covenant. And one thing that I've heard my father say so many times, if I've heard him say it one time, I've heard him say it 1,000 times, you don't know what your covenant is until you have defined the terms of your covenant. See, many people are married, but they don't really know what are the terms of their marriage. They haven't gone back and said, these are the things that we covenant before God to do. These are the things that we covenant before God not to do. These are the terms of our covenant. And so we have to know what the terms are of our promise with God. But you might tell me, oh, Pastor, I'm already saved. That's great, but what is the specific word that God has given you over your life? I understand you say, yeah, I'm sitting in the pew. I'm in church on Sunday. That's great. I love that. I'm happy that you're here today. But also, what is it specifically that God has promised you over your life? Have you gone back? Have you revisited it? Have you established that? Have you reestablished it if you need to reestablish it? For Adam, his covenant with God was dominion. For Noah, his covenant was that God would never again destroy the earth with flood. With Abraham, his covenant was that he would be a father of many nations. For David, his covenant was that he would always have an heir on the throne. What is your covenant with God? What is your covenant? Because oftentimes we walk through and we're trying to possess something and we don't even know what we've been promised. What has God promised you? And what have you promised God? Look at somebody and say, what have you promised God? That's an important part, you know, because sometimes we think it's just a one-sided promise. That's just a one-sided relationship, right? If we're saying I'm here and I'm expecting God to just waltz up in my life like Santa Claus and give me a bunch of things and open a bunch of doors for me. Amen. How many have ever treated God like Santa Claus? Amen. We've all been guilty of that sooner or later, right? But not just what are we expecting, what has God promised us, what have we promised God? That is a covenant arrangement. And then I love what happens in Joshua 5:9. Because when we establish or we reestablish covenant, it's why it's so important, because God begins to do this. Joshua 5:9 says, the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the shame of your slavery in Egypt. So that place was called Gilgal to this day. I don't know about you, but there's something powerful when I begin to rehearse and I begin to establish and reestablish what my covenant is with God. There's this powerful thing that God begins to roll away the reproach. He begins to roll away the bad reputation of your past. I don't know about you, but I need some things for God to roll away out of my past. And I'm glad that when I establish and I reestablish covenant with God, He is faithful to roll away all the bad parts of my past reputation and give me a new identity. I was on the phone with this young lady this week, and she's working hard to accomplish some things in school and in life and in ministry. But she made some mistakes, and she was kind of asking me about some of these mistakes. And she said, "Do you think my friends will forgive me? Do you think some of my mentors or teachers will forgive me? Do you think my parents will forgive me?" And I said to her, first off, with God, all things are possible. And if you're serious about God and you're serious about changing things in your life, anything can happen. Secondly, I've been reading about this guy. His name is Joshua. And what God did for him was He rolled away the reproach of his past. And I want to tell you today that God can roll away the reproach of your past. You might have walked in here today as one thing, but you can walk out of here as something different. That is the power of establishing covenant with God and reestablishing covenant. Because sometimes we get away from the covenant. Sometimes we get away from the agreement that we had with God. And we need to return to the agreement and say, "God, I'm returning to you and I'm reestablishing covenant." It's important because the farther along that you get, you realize when they got into the promised land, the manna stopped. There's no free lunches in the promised land. You see, sometimes as Christians, we get 5 years, 10 years into being a believer and we're still expecting a free lunch. If you're not a baby Christian, just coming out of the wilderness, guess what? The manna stops when you get into the promise. There's something that God says, and that is as we press into Him, He trains our hands for battle. He trains our fingers for war. So as we become more of a warrior, as we begin to possess our promise, guess what? You have to do so with action. You have to do so with faith steps. And so it says in the word that as soon as they began to eat of the produce of the promised land, the manna stopped. And that's a good thing because God wants to teach us not just how to be saved, but He wants us to teach us how to swim, how to help others. And so you can't take ground, you can't take ground from the sidelines. I was having this conversation with one of the people that's close to me and dear to my heart, and they were saying, you know, when do you think the battle is going to stop? When do you think the struggle is going to end? And I said, you know what? The way I see it, we have been brought into a world of darkness. And there is always going to be a fight. We were created to fight, but also to win. So I don't believe the battle is going away. I believe we get better at winning. The people that we look up to, if you're watching a professional athletic team, you don't appreciate the ones that are on the sideline. You appreciate the ones that are in the game who have known how to not just play, not just fight, but win. That's who a champion is. How can we expect to be more than conquerors if we're looking to get out of the fight? God said that we're more than conquerors. How are you going to conquer if you're not even fighting? So what I was saying is, don't look to get out of the fight. Look for ways to get better at the fight. You can't take ground from the sidelines. And I just think about Joshua. He's getting ready to go into Jericho. He takes a sip of water. And on his way to Jericho, he is confronted. It says in Joshua 5:13, he comes face to face with the commander of heaven's armies. Now, he had probably never seen an angel before. Anybody here ever seen like an angel like in real life? So Joshua is seeing an angel for the first time. And not just that, it is an angel with a drawn sword. I don't know about you, but there could have been some possible things that were going through his mind, because this wasn't the angel that came to Mary. This wasn't Gabriel that says, "Don't be afraid. Fear not." This was Michael. He was there. He was big. He was swole. He had a sword. It says the sword was not in the sheath. The sword was raised. And so, you know, what if you're going to possess the promise, you need to understand true power. You need to know true power. You can't do this in your own strength. A lot of times we're thinking we're going to do something in our own strength. And I can't even begin to imagine Joshua trying to do this conquest in his own strength. He was just moving in obedience. He didn't know he needed some strength. He was moving towards Jericho, but he needed the reinforcement. So sometimes we don't even know what true power is until we're face to face with it. It says Joshua came face to face with the commander of heaven's army. And so Joshua quickly realizes this is no ordinary warrior. This is the commander of heaven's forces. And he realigns himself. Sometimes we have to realign ourselves in the path to, in the process to our purpose. While we're trying to pursue our promise, we have to sometimes realign what we're doing so that we can be effective. On your path to your promise, it's okay to course correct. Or else you're going to be saying, "Houston, we have a problem." Course corrections are okay. At first, Joshua demands, "Are you for us or against us?" And the angel says, "Neither. I'm here representing the power of God." You see, Michael was over all of the forces of heaven. He represented, he was the delegated power of God. You're going to need power to get where you need to go. And so Joshua says, "Yes, sir, let me just submit to what you're doing." The Bible says his response was he fell down in respect and he said, "What are the Lord's commands?" Make sure you realign. And when you need to realign, make sure you realign with his power. And then Joshua shows up with the warriors. And it says about Jericho that it was tightly shut up. Look at somebody and say, "Tightly shut up." Anybody ever felt like you were trying to approach the things that God had promised you and it was tightly shut up? It's like, this doesn't seem like it's so attainable, because I know God promised it to me, but in the natural, it looks like this thing is tightly shut up. So this is Jericho. It's on DEFCON 1. Highest defense readiness, nobody going in the city, nobody coming out of the city. Jericho was on lockdown. All the soldiers are ready to fight, defend the city. Archaeologists say that they actually had years of food supply and water rations. They had a fortification system that was comprised of two walls going up to an elevated position, so they had the tactical advantage of the high ground. But the people of Jericho were also scared, because they knew Joshua was a man that knew how to possess. They had heard of his reputation of how he crossed the Jordan River and how he dealt with the two other kings. And they said, "This is a man that knows how to possess." Can I ask you a quick question? When you show up, what is the enemy's response? When you show up, is the enemy looking for an escape plan? Or when you show up, is the enemy like, "Stop playing"? If it could have been somebody else, and it would have been somebody else coming up, people of Jericho, the king of Jericho, would be like, "Stop playing." But when Joshua showed up, they were scared, because they knew that Joshua was a man that knew how to close the deal. He was a man that knew how to possess. When you show up, what is the enemy's response? Jericho had a tactical advantage, but they were still shook. When you show up, you need to have a spirit like Joshua that says, "I'm the new sheriff in town. I'm the new sheriff in town." And it's not prideful. It's not egotistical. It's just, if that's what God assigned you, when you show up, you're the boss. I don't show up asking questions. I show up giving orders. Because if this is God's assignment for my life, that means I'm the new sheriff in town. When I showed up in Pembroke Pines, guess what? The boss showed up. Because God gave me this territory over here. And so when you show up in the region that God has given you, you need to show up with that star on your chest saying, I'm the new sheriff in town. Look at somebody, give them a high five and say, I'm the new sheriff in town. We're looking around expecting somebody else to be the sheriff of our destiny. No, I'm the boss of my destiny. God gave me this destiny. I'm going to stand on it. I'm going to rule and reign. Amen. When you show up, you need to just tell them, go ahead and get your bags and start packing. Because I'm here. Deuteronomy 9 says it this way. I love this. Hear, O Israel, you are to cross over the Jordan today and go in to dispossess nations greater and mightier than yourself, cities great and fortified to heaven. If you want to possess, the enemy has to be dispossessed. There's going to be portions or the entirety of your promise that's being possessed by the enemy. And you have to dispossess the enemy. You know, sometimes we think of, oh, this is great. This is lovely. Joshua and the children of Israel, they come up into the promised land and they all got nice homes and they have all this land that they can make farms and stuff like that. No, they had to dispossess people that were on their land that were not supposed to be there. In the quest of your promise, as you are pursuing your promise, can I tell you that you're going to have to take from the enemy what belongs to you? Deuteronomy 9 says you're going to have to dispossess nations that are greater and mightier. It sounds like a David and Goliath situation, doesn't it? You're going to have to dispossess nations and enemies that are greater and mightier than you. And this is then what the commands the Lord gives Joshua. He says, march around the city once for 6 days. March around the city once for 6 days. Just march one time. Get up in the morning. Put your fighting clothes on. Put on your armor. Get out. Look like you mean business. Walk around the city once. Then go back. Go back to camp. You're going to do this for 6 days straight. You're going to get up. You're going to put on your stuff, put on your gear, look mean, walk around the city, then go back. But now the seventh day, something's going to happen a little different, okay? All right, on the seventh day, I want you to march around the city 7 times. And this time the priests are going to go and they're going to be blowing the trumpets the whole time. All right, they're just going to be making racket, mad racket, making noise, letting people know sheriff is in town. And at the end of the 7th time marching around the walls, the priests are going to play the longest blast you've ever heard. And you're going to shout as loud and as hard and with all the strength you got. And then the walls are going to come down. When we begin to step out in faith, our movement has a ripple effect against our opponents. Listen. When you step out in faith, things begin to happen. When we move in faith, it begins to shake things up like a spiritual mechanical resonance. There's a thing called mechanical resonance, and that's the thing where they don't march in step on the bridge. And they don't march in step around certain structures because the resonance, the vibration, when it happens at a certain rate, if it matches with the structure and it matches with the circumstance, things start to come down. So when we step out in faith and we move in faith, there's a certain vibration that your faith has. And when that faith vibration meets the vibration of your circumstance, walls are going to begin to come down. The question is, can you stand in faith longer than the walls of your enemy can stand against you? You see, because if they would have went out there for 6 days, if they would have went out there for 4 days and they would have given up, nothing would have happened. Somebody else would have gotten the victory. But you see, they had to stay till the seventh day. And on the seventh day, they had to go 7 times. And that they're doing the 7 times, they got to make some racket. They got to make some declarations with their mouth. They got to have some prayers in their mouth. They got to have some victory trumpets going on, because they're standing in faith and they're trying to match the vibration of their circumstance, because they know when the circumstance vibration latches up with the faith vibration, something begins to happen. Will you stand with me today? Because I believe something is about to happen in your faith. Something is about to happen in your faith. Something is going to resonate. Something is going to begin to shift, because God is looking for us to take a faith step. It's something about marching into your purpose. Can I tell you that some faith demands action? You can't just sit on the sidelines and expect walls to come down. There are walls that have formed against you, and they're standing in between you and your promise. How many know that's true? That there's things that are standing in between you and your promise today. How do we get those walls to be removed? How do we get walls to be removed that stand between us and our promise? The resonance of faith, the vibration of faith, the movement of faith steps when we begin to march. Will you just begin right now? Just practice with me right now. Because God wants you to move. God wants you to move in this season. God wants to change things. God wants to shake things. There's a resonance in the atmosphere when we step out and we march towards our destiny. On that seventh day, Jericho's walls couldn't handle any more of the faith of Israel. I'll say it again. On the seventh day, Jericho couldn't stand any more of the faith of Israel. It was deafening. The consistency, the power, the resolution of their faith. Today, in a moment, I'm going to pray for you, because I believe what God wants is for there to be such a resolve in your faith that you've got no choice. You've decided in your mind that you're going to march straight into your promise. You're going to march straight into the things that God has prepared for you. You're going to go in and possess in this season. How many of you say, that's me, that's me, that's me, that's me? Your faith has a vibration in the spirit. And when you're vibrating at the right resonance, walls in your life will come down. It's time to step out. It's time to step out. It's time to step out. I want to tell you by the Spirit, and I want to prophesy this into your life. You've seen other seasons where walls have not come down. You've seen other seasons where you've been frustrated, when you feel like you've been denied your promise, your blessing, your breakthrough. And I want to tell you, this is not that season. This is your seventh day. And this is your seventh walk around. This is your seventh walk. And if you will begin to just lift up your voice right now, if you just begin to lift up your voice in this season, I want to tell you that no weapon formed against you will prosper. You're more than a conqueror. You were designated. You were designed to be the sheriff of your area. You're the boss of your territory. God has made you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lender and not the borrower. He's caused you to be successful when you go in, and successful when you go out. And wherever you go, your testimony is with you of what God has done for you in past seasons. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, I just want you to lift up your hands. Just begin to celebrate Him like it's already happening. Because it's already happening right now. It may not look like it in the outside. It may not look like it in the natural. But I want to tell you, the walls have already been weakened. The walls have already been weakened. They may look the same, but they're not the same. When you're walking into this season, it may look the same, but it's not the same. The walls are getting weak. Hallelujah. God, we thank you for every promise. God, we thank you for every promise. We thank you for every promise. We thank you for every promise that you've given us. Come on, let's just move forward with thanksgiving. Say, God, thank you for the promise you've given me. Thank you for the promise you've given me. God,
God, I'm going to be responsible for the promise that you've given me. I'm going to possess the promise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you just say it with me? I have decided to walk into my promise, to possess what God has said. I am who God says I am. I am the boss of my destiny, because God said, I am the boss. I will rule and reign with Him in every circumstance He sends me into. I am more than a conqueror in the name of Jesus. And just real quick, just take a moment to just celebrate what God is doing right now. Just take a moment. Hallelujah! Come on, just take a minute to celebrate what God is doing. Yeah!
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.